sermon I'm going to preach this morning has been preached once before. My wife and I retired for the evening on the ship, and she said, "I need a sermon." And I said, "I have a sermon." And she said, "We're lying in bed," and she said, "Preach it to me." And I said, "I want to warn you that you're going to hear it again, because I got it just a few days or hours even ago. Prepared it." And so the sermon that you preached, and by the way, I told her, I said, "Are you sure you want to hear it?" I said, "It's rather long." And she said, "Well, just cut out the jokes and it'll be short." That's the first time that I've ever heard her call my humor jokes. I was rather encouraged about it. And so, lying there with the lights out in bed, I preached this sermon to her in its abbreviated form, which I will not do this morning. But, so I preached it before. I preached it to a beautiful congregation. I was on my back, and I get on my back. I have drainage. And she said, during the sermon, she said, "Would you just leave the snorting off, please?" And so I preached the sermon. Beautiful congregation. And very, very responsive. Offering was horrible. And in fact, it was nil. I told her, I said, "The offering is bad." And I guess she thought that the labor is worthy of his hire, and I got what I deserved. But then two nights later, she said, "I want you to be still now. I'm going to preach a sermon to you." And I gave her a dollar offering. It wasn't worth that much, but I like to be generous. But this morning, I want to speak to you on one of the most beautiful texts in the Bible. "Thy mercies are new every morning." Let me, before I pray and then bring the message, let me tell you the circumstances surrounding this text. The King Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonian Empire had been used by God as a whipping, or as a tool to whip his, with which to whip his children. Nebuchadnezzar had been used by God to come and punish the Israelites, the children of God, because they had been drifting from God. And he did come. The most deplorable conditions that you can imagine. Now, when this lamentation was given by Jeremiah, the temple, the beloved temple, had been destroyed. The wall of security around the city had been totally leveled. If not every house, certainly nearly every house in the city had been destroyed. There was suffering like the Jews had never, never known. It was so bad that even good mothers would take their smallest child. There's no food to eat, no food. The whole family was starving. And good mothers would take their smallest child and cook that child and serve the rest of the family from the food of a cooked child. It was in this dark hour that Jeremiah spoke these beautiful words. These are not words spoken in times of victory. These are words spoken in times of dire circumstances. Let me read you what he said during this. "It is of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed, because his compassions fail not. In this midnight of life," Jeremiah said, "they," his mercies, "are new every morning." That's my text. "Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is thy portion. Therefore will I hope in him." Get this. "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him." How could he say that with the temple destroyed and the walls leveled and the houses destroyed and people ravished by the enemy? He said, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." And then in this dark hour, he said, "For the Lord will not cast off forever, but But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Our Heavenly Father, I speak this morning on thy mercies are new every morning. May we, from the clouds of our lives, from the darkness of our lives, from the midnight of our lives, may we see the mercies and the goodness of God. Speak to our hearts, please. Amen. Of course, you would expect me, turn my treble up and the volume up just a bit, please. Of course, you would expect me to say something to you about our trip this morning, and I will very briefly do so. This message was prepared from the type of trip that we had. We flew on a free ticket because of my frequent flyer miles. I've flown so much I get free tickets. We flew to Copenhagen. We flew to London, and from London to Copenhagen, Denmark. And there we got on the boat, and we went straight north, up through the fjords of Norway, all the way as far as you can go to the ice cap that leads to the North Pole. We like froze to death. And I'll be honest with you, we pick up the paper, what paper you can get, and we prayed that it'd be 100 degrees here. We wanted you to suffer while we were up there, you know. But we'd see it was 95 and so forth, and we'd grin and say, boy, we didn't want to be relieved from pleasant temperature. But anyway, it was the most beautiful scenery I've ever seen in my life. But it was different. Every morning, something was different. One morning, for example, we were in warm, beautiful Bergen, Norway. Woke up, and there was Bergen, the most beautiful city I've ever seen in my life. If you've ever been to Bergen, Norway, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Gorgeous, most beautiful city of about 250,000 people, nestled there in mountains with water all around it and islands and peninsulas and so forth. I've never seen a more beautiful city than Bergen, Norway. One morning, that's what it would be. Next morning, cold as could be. I mean cold, cold, cold. Too cold. Colder than we thought it'd be. And but that morning, we would not see the warm, sunshiny climate. Bergen, Norway, by the way, has 220 days a year of rain. But today we were there. It was beautiful and sunshiny and gorgeous. That was His mercy. The next morning, we were not in a beautiful place of mountains, you'd say, or another morning. Cold place. Now, what were the mercies of that morning? Beautiful glaciers. I wish I could. In fact, I have some pictures. Brother Eau Claire sold me a camera. I had broken our camera, and he sold me a camera. We got to Copenhagen, Denmark, and I tried to put some film in it. It wouldn't work. Brand new. Paid $35 for it. But it wouldn't work. And I worked on it, and I couldn't make it work. So we got on the ship. I tried to work on it. I couldn't make the camera. Bought some of these little disposable cameras. Put them in for development and developing, and they leave. Throw the camera away after the pictures are developed. So finally, after 3 days on the ship, we were on a tour. We were on a touring bus, and a little town called Asalon, Norway, something like that. I couldn't make it work. I had tried for 5 days to make that thing work, and I couldn't make it work. Finally, a fellow across the aisle said, "Think I know what's wrong with your camera." I said, "What is it?" He said, "Do you have a battery in it?" I didn't know cameras had to have batteries. I had no idea. So for 5 days, I've been trying to fix it. But this particular morning, beautiful glaciers. I mean, you can't imagine the gorgeous beauty of the glaciers. The next morning, cold and hazy and miserable. And we're going up to a place called North Cape, the northernmost point on the continent of Europe. They call it the end of the world. You can leave there, you go straight to the North Pole. There's no other land between North Cape and the North Pole. Oh, what a miserable day. And what's good about today? We can't see the Cape, and we can't see the mountains, and it's foggy and so forth. So we're driving up there on the bus anyway to the Cape, and all of a sudden, I said, look. There's a probably 70 or 80 reindeer there. I mean, reindeer not like the deer we have here. And there was Rudolph, and
and Santa Claus, and I'm Santa Claus, but I grabbed the camera and my disposable camera, because the other one had no battery in it when I bought it from a certain person. And I got pictures of a bunch of reindeer as close as I am to Keith McKinney right now. And I got picture, and we were so excited. We saw probably 75 or 80 reindeer. You see, one morning, it was the beauty, sunshine and warmth of a Bergen, Norway. And another morning, it was the beautiful glaciers. No beauty, no greenery, no shrubs at all, nothing green, but beautiful glaciers. And the next morning, there on cold, rainy, ice, almost icy morning, there was a reindeer, and we were so excited. And then another morning, we're out on the sea, and nothing to see, no scenery, just water everywhere. And all of a sudden, I said, look out there. And there was a school of whales out there performing out on the right side of the ship. And there was, what do you call those things that blow up? Spout, yeah. And they were spouting up all that, and they jumped. And that was the mercy or the blessing for that morning. And another morning, woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and the sun was still up. Did you know for 4 long days, we never saw a sunset? The sun, and by the way, you live there, for 4 months, you never see a sunset. And for 4 months in the wintertime, you never see a ray of light at all either. But we looked out, and something exciting about it, the fact that the sun didn't set. But it's hard to go to sleep. You don't want to go to sleep. You're passing by pretty scenery, and the stupid sun, I mean, the beautiful sun is still up. And then another morning, just sailing, and the ice cap I mentioned a while ago. And then one morning, the fjords of Norway, the most beautiful scenery I've ever seen in my life. But every morning, so I rushed from my to a little private library they have there on the ship. And I looked at Lamentations chapter 3, where the Lord says, or Jeremiah said, in the pitiful time of depression and defeat and sadness and disease, he said, thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You see, these words were not spoken in Lamentation. They were not spoken. But Jeremiah said, great is thy faithfulness. Thy mercies are new every morning. These words were not spoken while Jeremiah was on vacation. They were not framed by the description of the New Jerusalem with its golden streets and gates of pearl. They were not immersed in the sea of some great victory. They were not propelled by the transfiguration of our Lord. And God, Jeremiah would say, thy mercies are new every morning. They were not launched by the feeding of the 5,000. They were not prompted by the stone launched from David's sling and the felling of Goliath. They were not reflected from Paul's vision of the third heaven or John's Patmos experience. They were not reverberated from the fall of Jericho's walls or from the obedience of the Red Sea's waters to Moses' rod. They're not an echo of the sweetness of Marah's waters or the blind man seeing 20/20. These are not the angelic words spoken at Bethlehem when the Savior came, or he is risen at the empty tomb. These are words not spoken at noontide jubilation, or creation's admiration, or Paul's regeneration, or Lazarus' resurrection, or David's coronation, or Goliath's humiliation, or Solomon's nomination, or Ahab's assassination, or victory's celebration, or Saul's inauguration, or John's revelation, or Satan's tribulation, or Jehovah's new creation. These are words spoken, my text this morning, the song of a skylark above a battlefield, a ray of light shot in a dungeon a ray of light from the dungeon's depth, a shout during a despondent dirge, a celebration during a time of pessimism. The book of Lamentations begins with a moan and ends with a groan. And from this awful time of darkness and defeat and disease and tragedy and war and seeming annihilation of God's people and soon to go into captivity for 70 long years, Jeremiah shouts, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. This book was not, it begins with a moan and ends with a groan. Jerusalem was trodden down. Her altar desecrated. Her enemy victorious. her walls leveled, her temple destroyed, her sons carried into captivity, her women violated, her gates mutilated, her flesh has turned to blush, and this little nugget, great is thy faithfulness, thy mercies are new every morning, were spoken at midnight, not noonday, in the storm, not in the bomb, in the clouds, not in sunshine, in defeat, not in victory. It was in these circumstances that we read, thy mercies are new every morning. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not care how dark the night is. I do not care how low the clouds are. I do not care how thick the fog is. There's something this morning about which you can praise God. As Jeremiah said, thy mercies are new every morning in the darkest hour of his life, in the darkest hour of the life of Israel. And this morning, let me say that the one who has it the worst can step up and down with Jeremiah and say, praise God, glory to God, thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jeremiah was looking for mercies. He was searching for blessings. Somewhere in the clouds there must be a ray of light. Somewhere in the storm there must be a rainbow. Let me tell you what mercies he found. When he could have complained, when the darkness was so thick you could hardly cut it, and the clouds were so low you could hardly see the heavens, and what was Jeremiah saying? What mercies did he find? He was saying, it's a bad time, heartache and heartbreak and disease and death and defeat and soon captivity. But he said, I'm still God's child. What were these mercies new every morning? His sins were still erased. What were these mercies? He was still justified. What were these mercies? His name was still written in heaven. What were these mercies? God would still never leave him or forsake him if he stays in Jerusalem or goes into Babylon for 70 years or goes where he finally went into Egypt with God's poor people. God said, Jeremiah said, God would never leave him. What were these mercies? Somehow this will work for good. What were these mercies? Even his sufferings were sent by God. What were these mercies? Joy cometh in the morning. What were these mercies? This can draw Jeremiah closer to God. What were these mercies? God's word is still available. What were these mercies? He can still go to God's house. What were these mercies? God had given him a man of God, given them a man of God in captivity. What were these mercies? Heaven is still his destination. What were these mercies? This is just a step along the way to heaven. God only punishes his children. The Lord is still his shepherd. He wasn't going to hell. God will still provide his needs. This suffering will end one day. He was still on the winning side. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, come Y2K, come communism, come Nazism, come death, come murder, come martyrdom, there's still a God in heaven. And you can stand this morning and say, hallelujah, glory to God, great is thy faithfulness. Thy mercies are new every morning. Now notice some things about his mercies. Every morning, it means that God's mercies were new every morning. I like that. It didn't say every evening, the dawn of the new day. He meets us at the threshold and greets us with the dawn of each day. The love of the Father was as near to the prodigal son when he was feeding swine as he was when he was feasting in the banquet hall. He loved him as much when he came home. He was not rebuked for his wandering, nor was his promise required as to his future conduct. God loved the prodigal son just as much while he was feeding the swine as he did when he came back home. And I want to say this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the blessings of our God are as great at midnight as they are at noonday. They're as great in time of defeat as in time of victory. And from the clouds of darkness and the storm of disease and famine and persecution and coming captivity, Jeremiah rolls up his sleeves, raises his hand, and says, great is thy faithfulness. Thy mercies are new every morning. Not only every morning, but they're new. Like the cruise, no two mornings were exactly alike. Each day brings a different mercy. No two days need the same mercies. No two people need the same mercies. The boy's needs are different from the man's. The sick needs of the sick are different from the needs of the well. The needs of the mother and housewife are different from the needs of the businessman. The needs at birth are different from the needs of death. The needs of the rich are different from the needs of the poor. And this is what God meant when he said, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Someone said to me, I couldn't take what you take. I said, you don't have to take what I take. You have to take what you take. But if God ever gives you what I have to take, God will give you strength to bear what I have to bear. And if I have to face someday what you face, God will give me strength. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you are in despair this morning, great is his faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. If you're sick this morning, his mercies are new every morning. If you're lonely, his mercies are new every morning. If you're sitting alone and your beloved spouse has been taken from your side, his mercies are new every morning. If the news has come that it's malignant, his mercies are new every morning. I don't care what it is, ladies and gentlemen. We have a God who loves us, and every day he showers us with exactly what we need. Some mornings, I awaken to the sense of God's closeness. I can see his hand parting the curtain of darkness and flooding my path with light and beauty. Some mornings the birds are singing praises to God, and I am in harmony with all that is about me. I am ready to attack the duties of the day some mornings. Then there is that morning when I, as a human being, awake with a tinge of discouragement. Things are wrong. I see no beauty in the rose. Physical weakness captures me, and mental recession is a fellow prisoner. I would rather run from my duties than hide. What is the difference? That morning when it seems like the sun is brighter than ever before, and the birds singing is more beautiful than ever before, and I joined them and whistled a tune with them as I walked to my car to come to work, and I sang, everything's all right in my Father's house. And then that other morning, it seems like that the clouds are low and the fog is thick and I can't see my way. And that morning, and then I stopped to say, when I remind myself that the same God that sent the sunshine also sent the cloud. And each is God's morning mercy. It doesn't say what I think our mercies are new every morning. It says God's mercies are new every single morning. And so, one morning, it was a beautiful Bergen, Norway. As Mrs. Howes and I took a tram up the side of a mountain and stood on the top of the mountain and looked down and saw that beautiful city. That was one morning's mercies. Another morning's mercies were as we looked and saw the beautiful glaciers and snow-capped mountains absolutely covered with beautiful snow right here in the month of August. That was one morning's mercies. Another, look at the reindeer. Look at the reindeer. Hey, give me the camera. Give me the camera. Doesn't have a battery. Give me this one that Claire didn't give me. I ran to the door. I got it. And that was the mercy for that morning. Another morning, the ice cap that leads to the North Pole, nothing between us. And one morning, realizing we're standing in the farthermost occupied town in the entire world. And there's the most northernmost post office in the entire world. And look at those fjords of Geiranger, Norway. I can't believe it. Those rising cliffs. They call fjords and beautiful water. Look at it. Look at it. Every morning, something new. But I've been saved now for many years. Bless God. Every morning of my life, there's something new and something wonderful and something great. If you're on top side this morning, his mercy is new. But if you're facing the heartaches of life, I promise you, it was in the heartache of his life when David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It was from the clouds we got Pilgrim's Progress, the clouds of a jail. From the clouds we got most of Paul's epistles written in the jail in the prison of Rome. It was in the clouds when we got John's great picture of the new Jerusalem and the second coming of Jesus Christ while he was in the clouds alone, exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And so this morning, if everything is fine and on top side and the sun is shining brightly, Just say, bless God, thank God today. The sun is bright. Nothing is wrong. I'm in good health. My wife's in good health. My children are all well. Everything's fine. I have a good job. We have a nice house. We have good food to eat and good clothing. Everything is fine. But if this morning the clouds are hanging low, you can't see your hand before you, let me tell you, there's still some mercies to thank God for. You're still His child. Your name is still written in heaven. Your sins are still blotted out. You're still justified. God will not leave you or forsake you. We finished the trip. Ms. Hiles and I have never been so glad to get home. Never. Something about getting home this time was better than ever. But it's the last day on the cruise, and everybody's a little bit blue. I said to Ms. Hiles, haven't we seen? Oftentimes I'd say, this looks like Sibley Street. Look at that harbor where Bergen is. We see that in Indiana Harbor every week of our lives. I said to Ms. Hiles, we've seen the most beautiful scenery you've ever seen. We've seen mountains with greenery. We've seen mountains with rock. We've seen mountains covered with snow. We've seen the fjords of Norway. We've seen the ice cap, the North Cape, the glaciers. I looked in her eyes and I said, but thank God of the most beautiful scenery I've seen, I get to take home with me. And with that dumb blonde look on her face, she said, Jayak, what scenery are you talking about? And I said, this is the scenery. Right here. And not only did I get to take home with me the most beautiful thing that I ever saw on the trip, I got to come back the most loyal, faithful people in the world. Now this morning, if you're here, you never trusted Christ. Darkness is darkness. There are no mercies to see. Clouds are clouds. No mercy shine through. Battles, heartache, all the sufferings and sorrows of life. There are no mercies for you. But I can tell you the greatest mercy of all. You're a sinner. Sinners are lost. Jesus Christ paid the penalty on the cross for sinners. Buried 3 days and three nights. Rose again for your justification. You can be a child of God. You can find the sunlight on the darkest night. The land of the midnight sun. That's what the cruise was called. The land of the midnight sun. Praise God. If you're a child of God, it may be midnight, but the sun is always shining. You walk down this aisle this morning and say yes to Christ. Trust Him as your Savior. He'll write your name in heaven, forgive your sins, make you His child, and make every morning, whether clouds or sunshine, full of mercies. And His faithfulness every day. Our Heavenly Father.